So there are 8 prakim Maseches Yuma. The first 7 are probably the longest chronological sequence anywhere in Mishnayos. Different places in different Masechtas, mostly in a Kachum context, but in various Siddurim, where the Mishnayos are chronological. You have one parak in Bikurim that gives sort of like the chronology, the process of bringing Bikurim. You have in Maseches Sotev in a couple of different places. Most extensively, the first 7 prakim of Maseches Yuma tell the story of Avodas Yom Kippur, starting from Shivas Yamim, starting from 7 days before, taking it through from what we called Tzom Gedalia, all the days of preparation to Erev Yom Kippur, all the way through the various steps of Leil Erev Yom Kippur, the morning, the afternoon, all the way through to the end of the Avoda. The first 7 prakim of the Masechta are the Kachin Prakim. The last parak, it focuses on the halachas of Yom HaKippur and Bezman Hazeh. The end of the parak is about tshuva, and halacha and hashkafa. Tshuva is a mitzvah, or tshuva is a halachic mandate all year long, and particularly Yom Kippur. It's very much a part of Judaism, probably one of the hardest parts. To grow and how a Jew is supposed to engage in a process of growth. It's towards the end of the final parak, parak Yom Kippurim. And parak Yom Kippurim begins, and most of it is focused on the halachas of the various isurim of Yom Kippur. As the Mishnah opens, the beginning of the last parak, Daf Ayin Gimel Beis, Yom Kippurim Asur Bachilo Veshtia Rechitza Sicha Nios Asandol Tashu Shamit Yom Kippur. It's forbidden to eat and drink, forbidden to bathe, forbidden to smear on creams and oils, lotions, forbidden to wear shoes, and forbidden to for a couple to engage in intimacy. And then the Mishnayos proceed to give all sorts of details. Immediately the Mishnayos begin to qualify these Yisurim. We'll come back to the details soon. And later in the parak, the Mishnayos and the Gemara move to other issues that relate more generally to the dinim of the Yisurim, the Inuim of Yom Kippur, about Chinuch and Pikuach Nefesh, Achila Be'er of Yom Kippur. The Gemara discusses all sorts of fascinating sort of various branches of this din. I want to explore this the time that we have leading up to Yom Kippur. A part of our hachana should be to work on Perek Yom Kippur and Be'in. I thought it'd be nice to start with it, sort of the opening sugya, which in many ways also carries us through quite a number of the opening dapim. And that is this question of the relationship between the various items, the various Yisurim we just mentioned. Achila, Shtia, Rechitza, Nilas, Asandl, Tashu, Shamita. Sounds like there are 6 items. The Gemara will see soon. Yisto, Bechavrusa, perhaps. The Gemara says there are 5. We'll see soon why it matters whether there are 5 or 6. Whatever, it is what it is. But we count Achila and Shtia as 1. So you ask her to eat and drink. And then 4 additional Yisurim. Rechitza, Sicha, Nilas, Asandl, and Tashrish Hamita. Why do I say 4 additional Yisurim? What's the asymmetry? In what way is the Isra Achila Shtia more central? What's the most obvious way in which the Isra Achila Shtia is more central than the other 4?
Written in the
Torah Beferish. Sort of. Right, so it's sort of Beferish. The Torah never says exactly don't eat. But the Torah does, right, so only those are, only those have a chi of karis. Only those have a chi of karis. As a matter of fact, that's the opening issue the Gemara raises. What do I mean? It's usher to eat and drink. Usher, that's all you can say is usher. And those who have learned Masechah Shabbos know that when you use the word usher, when there's no penalty, but it's merely usher, which means that Shabbos context usually means it's an Issa Drabanan. There's no Chiyuv Karis, there's no Chiyuv Chatas, Pater, Avalasar, you're Pater from any Onesh of Karis or Karban, but it's forbidden. So the Gemara says, here, what do you mean, Aser? onus karasu. You shouldn't just say it's asur to eat and drink. You should say chayev karasu if you eat and drink. Chayev. So the Gemara gives essentially two answers to the question. The first answer is a sugi that we're not going to get into, though it's fascinating, and in a certain sense is the first sugi of the Masechta, of the parak rather, which is Rav Eila says the name of Rav Eila, Rav Yimri says, oh, l'nitzchach l'chatzi shiur. If you eat a full shiur, the Mishnah goes on to talk about how much food, how much drink do you have in order to be chayiv. In most contexts, the shiur of eating is kazayis. Here the Mishnah tells us, here this Mishnah on Gilma Beis, that the shiur is somewhat larger, koseves hagasa, rather than the size of an olive, which is pretty small, the size of an extra large, a jumbo date. And the shiur for drinking, a shosa kimelo lugmav, enough to fill your cheeks. Okay, so there's a particular shiur, as in many areas of halacha, particularly in terms of machalos asuris, you only get the penalty, whatever the punishment is, whether it's malchus, or in this case, kares, or if one ate b'shogeg kratas, you only get the onesh if you had a full shiur. So the Gemara says, oh, but if you had less than a shiur, so there's no onesh, you can't say chayiv, it's not punishable, but aser. And that launches the Gemara into the discussion of chatzi shiur. Interesting. So you mean to say, if you had less than a shiur, it's not punishable, but it's still forbidden. Oh, that's interesting. Chatzi shiur is also aser. No punishment, but it's not mutter. So that's sort of that sugi of chatzi shiur. But then the Gemara picks up on Ayin Dalid, Amin Aleph. Here we are. You see the two dots most of the way down on Dalet Amin Aleph. So three lines before the two dots. Iba Seima. Kikasani Osir Asha'ara. The other answer is maybe the term Osir isn't being used to include Achil or Shtia Bechasi Shir, but rather it's being used to include the other items, the Shari Inuyim. The Tanu Rav Rav Yosef, Bashar Sifrei Debei Rav, this is in the Sifrei. Sifra is in Meresh Halacha and Vayikra, Mechilta is on Shmos, Sifra is in Vayikra, and Sifrei is on Bamidbar and Devarim. So in the Sifrei, the Rava and Rav Yosef said over rice that appears in the Sifrei, Minayim v'kipur v'sha'asu b'rechitza b'sicha b'nesasant ha'shamita, Hayinu Yom Kippur is forbidden to perform any of these other inuyim, bathing and lotion and shoes and intimacy. Tamilom or Shabbason, the Torah says Yom Kippur is supposed to be a Shabbason, Shabbat Shabbason. So what does that mean? Shvos. You have to cease, you have to rest, even from these other items as well. So apparently, the Gemara is saying that those items are the other inuyim. They're only aser; they're not chayiv. If you have a shir shalom would be the shari inuyim have no chiyav karas. As a matter of fact, the previous couple lines, the Gemara quoted a brisa that said that beferish. Yeah. The Hasanya. Afa pisha amr aser bekulan la amr onish karis ela ochel vashosim osim malacha bavat. You only get karis if for eating, drinking, or for doing malacha. But the others are aser, but not achi of karis. Okay, so you have achil ashti on the one hand, and that's achil ashti. You're not allowed to eat and drink yom kippur, and if you do, there's achi of karis, and if you drink vashogim kippur, there's achi of chatas. And then the other four, the shari nuyim, they're forbidden, but you don't get kares if you violate them. And the Gemara goes on. That's a good question. The Gemara goes on. We're going to come to that. And perfect. You're pitch perfect. The Gemara goes on in Ayin Dalet Beis to explain how we know this. It's how we know when the Torah says inoy and kol nefesh lo seuna, someone who does not practice inoy. The Havadis Nefeshahi, you're going to get courage. The Gemara goes on at length, starting on Dalam Beis, to figure out how do you know what this Inui is. Inui is a very ambiguous term. What does Inui mean? Te'anu. All sorts of ways that you could afflict yourself. The Torah is telling me to torture myself. Maybe I should go, maybe you should sit in the sun and dehydrate yourself. That's pretty painful. I mean, you could do all sorts of things. So the Gemara at length darshans from Sukkim of the course on Dalam Beis. No. We're talking specifically about a type. One of the drushes the Gemara has is v'havati sanefesh. Has to be something that causes ibud nefesh. It has to be some sort of unpleasant process that also reduces my body weight. So if you don't eat and you don't drink, okay, so you're going to lose a couple of ounces. So that's how you know. Has other ways of determining whatever it is. Lamaisa, the Gemara proves that when the Torah says, "Oh, if you don't keep this inui, you're going to be chayav karis," that's specifically eating and drinking. Now, the question is, so Harav Petrushka wants to know asudaraisa asudrabanan. So in fact, Tosfos raises it. Tosfos doesn't raise it overtly on Gilman Bays, but Tosfos does raise it a couple of blot later. Because it's on Ein Zayin Amid Aleph. Because the Gemara says in the bottom of Ein Vav Amid Aleph, and we'll get to Ein Zayin, the bottom of Ein Vav Amid Aleph, the two dots where the lines get wide, Asur Bachila, a Pisca. Right, so now we're picking up with the content of the Mishnah, Asur Bachila, really should be Asur Bachila Vachule, because we're going right away, it says, Hamish Inuyim connected me. These five Inuyim, what do they correspond to? So Rav Chista says, oh, they correspond to the connected Hamish Inuyim Sheva Torah. The Torah uses the term Inuy five times. And the Gemara proceeds to list five psukim, from Achrei Mos and from Emor and from Parshas Pinchas that use the term Inuy. So the Gemara says, and this is why I mentioned before, well, you only have the word Inuy five times, and the Mishnah has six. The Gemara's answer is Shtia B'chal Achila. Eating and drinking are one, the Gemara gives the proof for that. Okay, now that's not so much our focus right now. Fascinating sugya in its own right. Shtia B'chal Achila. And then the Gemara goes on to say, beginning the middle of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, well, you prove to me that there are five Inuyim. But what's missing is, well, how do you know that there are these? And the same question of Ayin Dal Amud Beis in the context of eating and drinking. You tell me there are five Inuyim, but that could be all sorts of things. Who told you not bathing? Maybe it's to put yourself in a socially uncomfortable situation. I don't know. All sorts of. We can get creative. How do you know that refraining from washing is called Inuy? How do you know refraining from putting lotion is called Inuy? You know, plain people never put on lotion. Why is that called Inuy? So the Gemara begins to give psukim. Give psukim for rechitza and for sicha. And the Gemara talks about here, the Banavayin Zayin Beis, another version, Ibai Seima Rechitza Dekri Inu Minal, and another Pasuk in the Tanakh. Then the bottom of Ayin Zayin Beis, how about Nias HaSandal? How about Tasha Shamita? Goes all the way, this discussion goes all the way to the first 7, 8, 9 lines of Ayin Zayin Beis. Working out, how do you know, again, on Ayin Vava Med Aleph, the Gemara had said the five Inuyim come from the fact that the Torah uses the term Inuy five times. And the Gemara proceeds over the course of a blot and a half to demonstrate that these five behaviors, or refraining from these five behaviors, is referred to in the Tanakh as Inuy. And therefore, the Torah says the term Inuy five times refers to these five things. Refrain from Achila Shtia, from Achitza, from Sicha, from Nias HaSan, from Tasha Shamita. Okay. Tov. So, by the way, let's just recap what we have, and then we're going to see the Tosfos here. It's going to open up the conversation. Let's recap what we've seen so far. The Mishnah, there's a lot of important pieces, and we're about to see them. Rishonim are going to begin to weave tapestries out of these pieces, and there's different ways one could weave, different tapestries one could weave. So let's just review what the elements are before we see how they may link together. Mishnah tells me the first din of this final parak. This is the parak about Yom Kippur B'zman Hazeh. The first topic is that here's a list of 5, 6 the behaviors that are forbidden Yom Kippur. Right? There's a shir for achila, shir for shtia, but there are 4 other behaviors also one cannot engage in: rechitza, sicha, nilsusan, tashamito. All of them are forbidden on Yom Kippur. And the opening Gemara made the point that the Mishnah didn't say chayiv, So just as aser, and this first explanation had been aser includes eating and drinking less than a shear. It's aser even though there's no chiv. The second answer on Hindam and Aleph had been the other four isurim, there's never a chiv karis. You get to take a bath for 3 hours, it's aser on Yom Kippur, but there's no chiv karis, no chiv chafetz. Okay. And the Gemara said where it comes from, Shabbos on Shavuos. Shait. And then the Gemara over the course of Ayin Dal and Beis derives some psukim that when the Torah says there's a chiv karis, it's talking about not eating and not drinking, about eating and drinking. And then we saw how where the Sharinuim come from, so that was the Gemara and Ayin Vavam and Aleph, Kenega the five Inuim Shabbat Torah. And over the course of Ayin Vavam and Aleph, Ayin Vavam and Beis, Ayin Zayim and Aleph, to the top of Ayin Zayim and Beis, the Gemara over the course of the blot and a half is demonstrating from various psukim Tanakh that these five behaviors are called, or refraining from these five behaviors is referred to as Inuim, specifically the last four, the Sha'ar Inuim. The Nochi of Kares, we already proved on Dain Dalam Beis, you can't eat and drink. Rechitza, Sicha, Niasasan, Tashamita, that's Ayin Vav, Ayin Zayin, demonstrating that these are called Inuim and therefore are the items that the Torah had been describing in the five Inuim. Now there's a long tosis on Ayin Zayin Amanav, this Snan. But I want to jump in. There's a beautiful letter in the end by the Brisker Rav in the end of his Sefer and Rambam about what much of this tosis is talking about in the next tosis, but that's not our focus right now. The long tosis, this Snan, I want to dive into straight in the middle of the tosis, just a few lines. Right below where he says Sanhedrin Pei Gimel and Aleph. You see that? Pirush Rabbeinu Tam. The line below that. Pei Reish Taf. Is Pirush Rabbeinu Tam? Rashi's grandson. Rabbeinu Tam said, the Chol Inuim Yom HaKippurim Lesnu Elamid Rabbanon. Ooh. So he was thinking about David Petrushka's question. And he says, no. The Rashi is Rabbanon. The answer is Rabbanon. Now, achila shtiyah, those are not negotiable. Chiyav karis. Chiyav karis, obviously, is the Torah says, if you violate this, you're chayav karis. So that's pretty clearly deraisa. But the other inuyim, the sha'ar inuyim, rechitza sicha, nil susan tashamita, they're only forbidden behaviors midrabanan yom kippur. Minatur, they're mutter. Now, the question is, you're going to ask me right away, how can say midrabanan? We spend a ayin vav ayin zayin. We're busy with the figure demonstrating that these are the five inuyim, and the five inuyim that appear in Chumash Hayikra and Chumash Bamidbar.
Maybe the fact that the Mishnah had the Havamina, Rabbi Elazar says that certain, the fact that there's one shita that says that a kala can wash her, a mela can wash his face, and a kala can wear shoes, and a woman in labor. The fact that there's an out option, how could it be d'oraisa?
Oh, gewaldik. Gewaldik. So, good. So there are two issues on the table right away, which is, A, the second issue is content, which Eric is raising, which Tosis is going to address in another line or two, or the halachic details of these inuyim. The first question is drushes, psukim, sources. So Tosis says, the Shari Nuim, they're all Draban. I, the Psukim, who cry, Asmachta Bialma. The Psukim that we're quoting are not actual Drashas Dreisa. They're merely Asmachtas. They're merely allusions. Levar Me'achil Oshtia, with the exception of eating and drinking. Eating and drinking is Asimunat Torah, but the other Inuim, they're only in Isur and Drabanon. However, we'll come back to the way he dealt with the Psukim, but first let's see. First, let's see what's driving him, and it's exactly as Eric said. Da'amar lekaman, or fundamentally what Eric said. Da'amar lekaman, amay meluchloch betit v'tzawa rochet kedarko ve'eno choshesh. It's, I told you that this discussion of a blot and a half worth of Gemara, but how do you know that these four items are referred to as inui, ends the top of Ayin Zayim Beis. As soon as the Gemara is done with that, it dives into the halachic details. The Tanur Rabbanan near the top of Ayin Zayin Beis, right away. Tanur Rabbanan have a brisa. Asur luchos mixes gufa kachol gufa. You're not allowed to even bathe part of your body the same way you can't bathe your entire body. But I'm harim luchlech petitav etzawa rochus kedarkum echoshes. If you're dirty, you fell in the mud, so you're allowed to wash yourself off. And the same thing about putting on lotions. you can't put on lotions, even part of your body, but if you have some sort of medical condition, then it's mutter. So Tosfos, Rav Anatav says, what does that mean? You're dirty, you could bathe. Some sort of skin condition in your scalp. You could put on you could smear some oil on. Really? The problem is, it doesn't explain fully what the problem is. The rush explains more. What type of dindaraisa yields to, I'm not feeling well. If you told me to sakans nefashis, I understand. And that, again, and that's the mission, as we said before. The Mishnah is later in the parak, branch off into different details of Inui Yom Kippur. Yes, the Mishnah in Pei Beis starts talking about the second Mishnah about eating when the sakanas nefashis. Mishnah Pei Gimel discusses it more, and this is one of the major sukkahs of pikuach nefesh. It's Pei Beis and Pei Gimel and Pei Dalet and Pei Hei. And what do you do? The Mishnah get in general into other cases of being Mechal Shabbos, Pekuach Nefesh, and Rachman, it's not building collapses. This is sadly, tragically, too much on our minds. So the Mishnah says, absolutely, Mechalev to Mechal Shabbos and pull out rubble and see if you can save anybody. Right? So yeah, of course, if it's a Pekuach Nefesh, even a Sav, that's the Mishnah, it's even a Svek, Pekuach Nefesh. Maybe there's someone inside, and maybe he's still alive, and maybe I can say, maybe. Yeah, after Pekuach Nefesh, Sav Pekuach Nefesh, for sure. But Chatot and Barosha is not Pekuach Nefesh. You have a rash, you're not dying, there's no hazard. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. Okay. You fell in the mud, it's definitely not Pekuach Nefesh. That's not Pekuach Nefesh. My kids, my mother's going to kill me. Not actually Pekuach Nefesh. If it is, so then that's one needs to make a very, very rapid call, even on Shabbos, to child services to get that kid help. That's no joke. Right? But in normal situations, it's uncomfortable, it's unpleasant. Okay, but were you allowed to mechal Shabbos? You allowed to eat treif because you're dirty? The only way to get kosher food is to go through the mud, so then you can just eat pork? Of course not. But what does this mean, Rabbi Natan says? How could it be? You're allowed to bathe on Yom Kippur because you're dirty? What does that mean? It's a deraisa. Elamai says, obviously it's not a deraisa. If it's, in other words, and let's unpack what Tosfos, Rabbi Natan is saying. Rabbi Natan is saying is that, and later Balei HaTosfos explained this more, is something that we're intuitively familiar with, but worth focusing on for a moment, is that the parameters of a din derabanan are often designed very differently than the parameters of a din deraisa, because as the Gemara says, heim amru v'heim amru. If Chazal the ones, this is mutar min haTorah. Chazal decided, and Chazal are authorized by the Ribbono Shel Olam to create din derabanan. So if they're creating the din derabanan, so they can design it as they see fit. And obviously, it's going to have to address whatever need it is that they're trying to address. But they get to craft the particular parameters of the din. And there are certain principles that guide them. There is an idea in Maseches Beitzah and elsewhere. We discussed in other contexts. They'll call the tikkun rabanan kein deraisa tikkun. The Chazal are going to try to adopt and adapt patterns, pre-existing patterns that appear in Din Daraisa and apply them here. Okay, but at the same time, Chazal will often build in different parameters that speak to Tzorech. And Bechlal, the Chazal have the right to say, we're not imposing this Din Drabanan in B'makam Tzorech. So Chazal will say, Amir L'Nachri is on Shabbos, Amir L'Nachri is the name of an Isser, it's not the name of Heter. One is not allowed... Not allowed to ask a guy if I'm not allowed to do myself on Shabbos. I'm not permitted to ask a non-Jew to do either. However, that's it didn't drop on him. The Gemara is clear in Masech Shabbos. Maybe asking a Ger Toshav, maybe he's a din deraisa. But asking a typical Nachri to do malacha for on my behalf on Shabbos is a drabbanon, and as such, it is aser. But there are various contexts in which Chazal says mutter. So Chazal said, "B'makom chol shein bo sakana mutter." No sakana whatsoever. He has a very, very bad headache. He needs to lie down. The doctor said, "We're not concerned about COVID. We're not concerned." He's not feeling well. He's He has a stomach virus, he has an ear infection, and he's out of commission for a day or two. There's no sakana, but he's sick. Chol she'ein bo sakana. Chol she'ein bo sakana. I can't be mechal Shabbos, but Chazal said, Amir l'nachri is mutter. Those who were here for Hilchah Shabbos, we saw Amir l'nachri, right? So that, a classic example. Chazal created din rabbanan, heim avru. They said, oh, Amir l'nachri is going to be mutter, b'makom chol she'ein bo sakana. Sometimes Amir l'nachri is going to be mutter, b'makom mitzvah. Sometimes Amir l'nachri is mutter, b'makom hefzed meruba. Okay. Because that's up to Chazal to craft it as they see fit. So Tzorech is going to play a role in a way that it could never play a role by Deem Daraisa. So yeah, Sasafis Hakanas Nefashis is matter almost all Yisur. And if it's only a mitzvah say, not a mitzvah zolzeh say, then there are other conditions under which mitzvah say Daraisa could be violated. One's not mechiv to give up kol hon beso, and so on and so forth. Okay, there are other, but just to say because you're dirty. Bantam says clearly, and the Rush makes the point specifically that Eric made. You turn to the Rush. So the Rush says, in the latter half of Siman Aleph, it's interesting. There are 8 prakam of Maseches Yuma, but there's only riff on the last parak, because the first 7 prakam are Alach L'maisa. The Rush already wrote a kitzer of the first 7 prakim. He gave you a basic rundown, bikitzer, of Avos Yom Kippur, but then he gets down to... The Rush generally is riff plus. So he begins the way the riff does, giving you a praesis, an abstract of the various drushes that are the basis for all these dinim. And then, at the Os Zion of the Karban Asana in the Rush, halfway through Siman Aleph, and then in my print, the old print, it's the top of Daf Tzadi. It's up, Pirish Ri, not really on Tom, because we're on Tom's a nephew. Hani drushes asmachta bialman, and chol hani inu imin drabban, and chutz mechidishtia. So the Ri said it. He was calling his uncle, Ben Tom. How do you know? He already has more. He has more. Now let's skip for a moment. Then we'll come back to the Ri's first point. But skipping down a few lines, va'od midehei kilu chachamim behu, v'hitiru lemelechu lechal lechotzes p'neim, v'sheish l'chatat n'roshu l'asuch, yodim l'chlochot p'titit v'tzol l'rachtza, hachay eternus asandol. He says, he adds not only the Gemara's and Dafayin Zayim and Beis, but the Mishnah's. The Mishnah says that the king is allowed to wash his face because melech b'yaf yo techazenech. The kal is allowed to wash her face on Yom Kippur because we want the marriage to get off to a good start. I am Machal Shabbos for that. You don't violate assumed rights of that. That clearly, the Malkum Tzorech, it's mutter. If it's a Din Rabbanan, okay, hey Mamru, hey Mamru. And he has a sharp raya. He says the Mishnah has a machlokes, whether Chayat Tilnos Asandal or not. A woman who just gave birth, is she allowed to wear leather shoes? Rabbi Lezer says yes, Acham say no. So the Rosh says, well, if it's a machlokes, whether it's mutter or aser, what does that tell you? It's clearly not Sakana. Is like a sakana. If it was a sakana, then we, of course that was mutter. So Elamai, it's not a sakana. So why does Rabbi Lezer think it is mutter? Clearly, this must be a din drabanan. Clearly, this must be a din drabanan. Clearly, this must be a din drabanan. Now Rabbi Tam had presented it as, well, despite the fact that there are drushes, but and that would have made you think it's Daraisa, but it's Rabbana because look at all the content, the dinim. Now, what was Rabbeinu Tam? Now, the Re'ray is going to get more into the drushes. So let's take this step by step. What did Rabbeinu Tam say? Rabbeinu Tam didn't prove his thesis from the drushes. He said it despite the drushes. The drushes make it seem like it is Daraisa because they're drushes. So what was the answer? Asmachta. What does Asmachta mean? So Asmachta means that this is not a drusha Daraisa. Well, what does that mean? What do I mean? Drasha Daraisa, Drasha Rabbanos? The answer is that Adin Daraisa means going back to basics. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu the entire text of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. As the Rambam presents in the Haggadah at the Pirush HaMishnah and elsewhere, he also taught him a part of the Torah Shvapet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu a certain content, some of the content of Torah Shvapet. the basic interpretation of every mitzvah, and the interpretation of particular psukim, a couple of some general ideas, halachas Moshe Mitzrayim, content, and part of the content of Torah Shabbat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also taught Moshe Rabbeinu the tools, the mining tools, through which he could extract the rest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm giving you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Yachol, is omnipotent. He said, I wrote a text that has multiple layers of meaning. There are multiple layers of meaning embedded into the text beyond the surface, beneath the surface. And he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the job of you and the Chachmei HaTorah and future generations to mine the text of Chumash, to discover, to extract those additional layers of meaning. And here are the tools. I'm giving you some of those layers of meaning. I'm giving you a silver platter. I'm telling you in advance that Priyei Tzadik means an asterisk. I'm telling you in advance that Yeshiva B'sukkah means this. And he gave him some of the content of Torah Shel Peh. And he said, the rest, here's your toolbox. The toolbox is Kal V'chomer, and Gzeir Shava, and Binyanav, and Kal Pratikol, and so on and so forth. The Mir Shah Torah and Rashi's bit. And the objective of Darshanim Psukim is to arrive at, to discover what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind in writing this pasuk, to uncover authorial intent. It's a discovery process. So Mimela, when a Talmud Chacham makes his... A Talmud Chacham seeks to figure out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu have in mind in this pasuk. And that's a din d'oraisa. If you're using one of those interpretive tools, one of those mining tools, intellectual mining tools that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu to be used in extracting these additional nuggets of meaning. But let's say I have some other style of reading a pasuk that doesn't correspond to any of the official tools. Then that's not a Joshua Gemurah. And what that indicates is not a Din Daraisa. So that's what we call a Smachta Biyam. I say, well, the Pasuk sounds a little bit like this. So that's not a drasha. So then it doesn't indicate Daraisa. It's a Din Drabanan that most Rishon presented as, it's not generating a Din Daraisa. The Din doesn't apply because of this drasha, because that's not a style of drasha, that's a drasha gemura. So where did the din come from? It's a din drabban. Chazdal said, at least as a way of remembering it, you see the pasuk sounds a little bit like, there's a pasuk in Chumash that sounds a little bit like Netil Zidayim. It doesn't really mean Netil Zidayim, but it's a good way to remember that there is a, once Chazdal legislated the din drabbanan of Netil Zidayim, they said, and after all, you know, there's even a pasuk that sounds a little bit like it, that'll help you remember that we impose a din drabbanan until Zidayim. How do you see that this is merely an asmachta? So here, let's come back to the Rosh coin the re. Because again, Eben Tam was saying, I'll show you that it's drabbanan because after all, look at the kant of the dinim. You'll ask me, how about the drashas? Don't worry, those are drashas. Those are merely asmachtas. The re says, if you look at the way the Gemara presents the drashas, that also indicates as drabbanan, because these don't sound like drashas gemuras. How do I know? Take a look. Pirush Ri, that's how he opens. He leads with the drashas. He doesn't, unlike in time, he doesn't focus on content. We saw it later on. The Ri says, in terms of content, yeah, all these dinim sound like dinim drabbanan. But first he says, Hani drashas asmach to be almaninu. V'chol hani inu in drabbanan chutz mech yishtiya. How do you know? Number one, dahachi mashma lishan de gemara. The way the Gemara presented, frame these drushes, they don't sound like actual drushes. Why? Tika Amar, the Gemara Ayin Vav Amin Alf that we saw, Hani Inuim Keneged Mi. Keneged Mi, what do they correspond to? If you're quoting a drush that's actually the source, you would say, where are they from? Velo Ka Amar Minolon, Omehecha Nafka. Gemara didn't say Minolon, which really means from where, Minayin Lanu, from where do we have this? Or Mehecha Nafka, from where does it emerge. The guard didn't say, what's the source? The guard said, what do they correspond to? What do they correspond to? That sounds like we're looking for correspondence. Something that will help us remember, but that's not really the source of the din. Aval keneged mi mashma sheshoel im yesh lehem shum remez min haTorah. Oh. So he says that this doesn't sound like a real drasha gemara d'oraisa. Number one, because we introduced it with a language connected me rather than with a minalan or a mehechanavka. Number two, he says this drasha can't be d'oraisa because we had five inuyim. So five inuyim means one of the five is achil eshtia. Oh, the darash chamish mechamish inuyim to call also achil eshtia. Ahu drasha remez bialmu. That's clearly not. Or drasha gemur da achilas tia darsh the mikra mekzera shava. Earlier on Ein Dalam Beis, the Gemara has heavy duty drashas to demonstrate that the inuyim in the Torah is achilas tia, and that's what's chayav karis. So clearly over here, this the chamish inuyim connected me for the achilas tia. This class not the mocker. Elamai, this is asmachta. So medahach asmachta. That's asmachta. Probably the whole thing's asmachta. Okay, so far two indications that this connected me. The chamish inuyim connected me is merely asmachta. The language connected me, and the fact that we're using one for achilas shtia. If you had four, that would be great. But if you had five, And he also says, by the way, chaymash v'nami had the sanya b'shar sifrei de beirav, tamud lomar shabason shvos. Says, well, we had another drasha also, let's not forget, ein damud aleph. I said, no, that's already a little suspicious. We have two different drushes for the same din. An overabundance of blessing. There's a ribur bracha here, but the redundancy is surprising. Usually, every drusha, right, what's this pasuk for? What's that pasuk for? What you do with this pasuk? What you do with that pasuk? All of a sudden, we have an abundance of riches here, an embarrassment of riches. Enough to go around two different drushes, that already makes you wonder whether. What's going on? And he says, if Hashem told, well, that other drasha, that's a drasha gemurah d'oraisa. He says, nah, that's not a drasha gemurah either. That also sounds like mashma d'avad rabban. That also sounds rabbanon. Kamo gavi Shabbos, ta'as mechol yisir rabbanon, ha-shabbason shvos. Yeah, we use the language shabbason also as a mucker for all the din rabbanon. So yeah, that's clearly it's that drasha of shabbason, that's not a drasha gemurah d'oraisa on Shabbos. It's not drasha gemurah d'oraisa on Yom Kippur. So the Rosh says, number one, we had two different sources in terms of drashas for Shai Inuyim, and they both sound drabanan. The Chamish Inuyim connected me sounds drabanan. The Shabbos on Shavuos, well, that's to say, we're used to that from the Shabbos, that's drabanan. Okay. And then he goes on to say, expands on what his uncle Yotam said, and the content of the dinim sounds very drabanan style. It doesn't sound like drasha style. That's the approach of the Baal Yatosis. If you're on the page and you don't even want to, if you're such an on the blot guy, you don't even want to, you start Ein Gilma on the base, you don't even want to get off the blot, so you don't have to get off the blot because you turn to the, I mentioned before, Tosis, standard Tosis on Ein Gilma base doesn't talk about it. You got to wait until, what was it, Ein Zayim and Aleph. But on the bottom, Tosfos Yeshanim, he has a lengthy discussion about it. He says, these sound like they're all drabbanan, and he starts talking about all the coolest in the Mishnah and the coolest later. He has even more back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Okay, a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot. And he tries to work on, well, he tries to defend a little bit. Well, maybe it is d'oraisa, but maybe rechitza is only us d'oraisa if you do your whole body, and we're only making the Mishnah to wash your face. But ultimately, it's difficult. The approach of the standard approach of Baal Yatosis, and again, based on both Tzura and Tochen, is, in other words, both in terms of the drashos and in terms of the kinds of the dinim, is a shai nim only drabbanan.
Rashi is much more interesting also.
Yeah, where?
Ein Dalai says the same thing the Rashi.
Let's take a look. Ah, gevalik. Exact as Ari says. Gabi inu iksiv fi heich the Shabbos arba b'Shabbos asmuch be'rabbanan shar malach shalai b'mishkan. Hachanami Shabbos and Gabi Inu. They need some lohosif al Inu Achilas Jika. So Rashi is Kimat Beferish. In other words, he never says explicitly here to Asas Machta, but he connects 95% of the Dash. He said that by Shabbos Asas Machta, and so to here. Sounds like so to here. Asas Machta. Yeah. Yeah, so this seems to be the approach of the Ashkenazi, the approach of the Ashkenazim. The approach of the Ashkenazim. As an aside, it's when you this might be an example of a larger phenomenon, a pattern. I'm not sure that I have an explanation for it. I have some very speculative thoughts. I made a list a number of years ago, and then more recently I've tried to reconstruct the list without nearly as much success. Whenever you have a machlokas Ashkenazim versus Sfaradim, whether a concept is Daraisa Rabbanan, not just details, but a concept, when it's a machlokas Ashkenazim versus Sfaradim, basically all Ashkenazim versus the Sfaradim, it's invariably, as far as I can tell, the Ashkenazim say Rabbanan, the Sfaradim say Daraisa. There are a number of examples. Tchum Yud Beis Mil, Shari Nuyim, Melechus Cholam Moed, the list goes on. There are a number of other. At one point, I think I came up with a list like 8 or 13 examples of this. And again, I've tried to reconstruct since I've never gotten as many. Sfaradim don't necessarily agree with the Baliatosis. I'd love to take a look at the Rambam, and let's at least make a haschal of taking a peek at the Rambam, and then we'll come back. Let's take a look at the Rambam. A quick show of hands. Did anyone have a chance to look at the Rambam yet, or not yet? Not yet. Okay, good. Good, perfect. Perfect. So we're at the right spot. You're going to look at the Rambam, you're going to, number one, be... It's hard at first to tell what does the Rambam think. What does the Rambam think? He talks about an iser of is usher to eat and drink. And he says, and there's a mitzvah say to fast. And then he adds about the rechitza and the sikh and the sandal and the tashn shemitah. You have to try to figure out, well, where does the Rambam stand on this? The Rambam is usually very focused on Daraisa Drabbana, what's a mitzvah, what's not a mitzvah. Again, as we've seen in the past, the Rambam uses the list of Tariq mitzvahs as the skeletal structure around which he builds the entire Mishnah Torah. He's very explicit about it. Every single, for instance, Hilchos Shavuos is Asar, and kim'at every single area of Halacha, he'll open. The halachas of Shvisa on the 10th of Tishrei, yesh b'chalon arba mitzvahs. These halachas include four mitzvahs, two mitzvahs. I say two mitzvahs. Also say v'zehu pirtan. Here's a list. He always starts a list A B C D, and then the classic line ubeir kol hamitzvahs ha'elu b'prakamil. The elaboration on these mitzvahs, the list of the mitzvahs I just gave you, the elaboration comes in the following three prakam, and consistently there are a couple of areas of halacha that don't include mitzvahs. Something. He doesn't have that, but almost invariably that's what it is. Very, 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 very consistent. So that's why all the halachas of Shus Asar are the elaboration on these four mitzvahs. These two mitzvahs and two mitzvahs also. So he's always categorizing the thing, almost invariably categorizing in terms of what's a mitzvah and what's the isser, and then let's expand from there. So you're going to want to over the course of the week. It's kedai to spend some time chazering the Tosas, the Rasha, lots to plug it back in. We didn't see the Rei Tosas Yisharim inside. If you want, you can see. He's Freilich. You can think, if you want to, about the assumptions that he's making about Chatzis Shir, as an aside, Tosas Yisharim. And then I would focus on the Rambam. There's a lot to see in the Rambam. I think I sent you to a number of different places. I sent you, number one, to... Perak Aleph, Halachas, Dalin, and Hey. The truth is, if you want to, you can start from the beginning of Perak Aleph, from the top, from the four mitzvahs, and then Halachas, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, but primarily Dalin, and Hey. You have to figure what exactly is he saying. And you can even look later in Prakim Beis and Gimel. And then you sort of have to figure out what he's saying, and also figure out if you think that someone disagrees with Balei Tosfos. Rabbeinu Tam time of the Re had very strong arguments. Again, Rabbeinu Tam argued from content, and the Re expanded on the argument from content, and also argued from the drushes. And neither drushes d'oraisa. The connected me's for two reasons sound like they're not drushes d'oraisa. And Shabbos and Shavuos, we've seen this rodeo before. It doesn't generate a din d'oraisa. So what does all this mean? Well, where does it come from?
Somewhere else.
Well, show me. Maybe. Okay. But again, you would want to... You're right. You're saying, if I come across a din, and Netilas Yadayim, how are Netilas Yadayim Drabanan? Well, I don't know what the drush is. Okay, maybe keep looking. Right? Every once in a long while, Tosfos will say, there must be Shum Drasha. There must be some drasha out there that we just haven't discovered yet. It's certainly a possibility. And again, to prove the non-existence of something, obviously, is logically more challenging. So maybe there is some drasha out there. Here, however, you're a little somewhat stronger ground, because the Gemara actually asked, what's the source, and offered this Chamishi Inuin connected me. So if you think that's not drasha Gemara D'oraisa, well, it's sort of odd that we would ask, where is this from? And all we came up with was an asmachta. All the more so, we actually have another drasha, and Rashi and Tosis think that's also not drasha. So they went, this is third drasha that the Gemara never bothered to tell us about. Maybe. You'll search around in Midrashi Halacha and find a third source. Then you talk and wonder, why did the Gemara not mention it? It's not like the Gemara didn't mention any drasha. Okay, so the Gemara didn't mention. There are dinim that appear in the Midrashi Halacha that don't appear in the Bavli. But the Bavli more than once gives you a drasha and leaves out what's in what you found in a Meir Shalacha. I would be tempted to say it sounds like it's a machlokas, which is not unheard of, between the Bavli and the Midrash Halacha, which is a possibility. But again, you start by saying, well, where is it from? Is Halacha Moshe Sinai? It could be. But again, the fact that the Gemara actually twice offers a drasha, if those drashas are drabanan, hard to say. And what do you do with all the content? Again, Tosis's rise had been from Tzura and from Tochen, from Joshua's and from content. So we want to explore. We're going to, of course, the week in Mitzvah, and we'll continue with this in Chabur next Tuesday. We number one want to be Mevar Shitas Aram, but what is the Rambam saying? And again, I would suggest over the course of the week to look at these Rambams, particularly the way he opens it in Halachas Dalet and Hey, and look at the Nosei Kelim. They send you sort of different directions, the Magen Mishnah and the others. And then there's a Ran on the Maran Makomos. The Ran actually addresses the Rambam directly. The Ran on the Alpha and Alpha Dapi Arif here. It's in you can bear keep in the back of your mind the Magen Mishnah and the Ran were contemporaries. Shechter's Nusach is that they were Chavrusas. So I don't know if he means literally they actually learned Bechavrus each other, or just means that they were contemporaries and Talmidim of the same Rebbe. And everyone, so it's interesting, every once in a while you'll see the Magen Mishnah and the Ran playing off each other. Sometimes they seem to be saying similar things. We think of them as being unrelated because the Magen Mishnah on the Rambam, the Ran is on the Rif. We know the Ran is Rishon, sometimes we think the Magen Mishnah is Achram because he's on the page of Rambam. He's not. He was a later Rishon, like the Ran. From that same the school, based several generations after Ramban, based on Rosh Hashanah. So sometimes they're very much alike, and sometimes they're at odds. You'll see what you find in the Magen Mishnah on the Rambam and the Ran on the Rambam. The Ran is officially on the Rif, but he quotes the Rambam and comments on him. And the Ran is something fascinating to see. If you have time, the Ban Ramam Makomos, I put the two other items you might want to look into in dealing more with the Rambam and what the Ran has to say. One is to look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Chafal. If you remember that Rashi and Tosfos had sent us to Shabbos Son by Shabbos. So what the Rambam has to say about Shabbos Son and Shabbos, and specifically how the Magid Mishnah there interprets the Rambam, is intriguing. So that was the first Mar Makom, the small font, so the Rambam beginning Perek Chafal for Hilchos Shabbos. And the other is a Gemara in Chagiga and Rashi, if you have time with Tosfos, that relate to what the Ran is saying about the Rambam. So we're going to try to figure out Blinetter next time to work over the course of the week, and then in next week's Chabura, what is the sheet of the Rambam, and how do all the different pieces of the language of the Rambam sort of fit together in a coherent way, and how is the Rambam reading all these Gemaras? How does the Rambam reading all these Gemaras in terms of the Drashas, Ayin Dalet, and Ayin Vav Ayin Zayin, and how is the Rambam reading all the Dinim, both the content, both in the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Beis and in the Gemara on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. And we'll see some very, very fascinating patterns. Shkoyach, Chevra.